Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our message comes from Matthew 5 today, verses 44 and 45. And I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. We pray. Lord God, it's so easy to just love those who love us. So easy to be drawn to those who would benefit us and who like us. But Lord, in you we see a picture of a greater love that knows no boundaries. A love even for those who would seek to destroy you. A love for those who crucified you. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us this love. Grow us in that reality that you have made us yours. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Be seated. For all of us, there's probably places that we would not like to go, or there's people that we would like to avoid, I'm guessing, right? It's kind of easy how we can justify those things and say, we just dress a certain way, or talk a certain way, or listen to a certain music, or maybe they remind us of someone in our past that hurt us, or maybe they look like someone that we've been hurt by. So it's easy to just kind of avoid them, to justify it, and to think nothing of it, really. It was yesterday, I had to do some climbing, and even in that subgroup of people, there can be some strange people that maybe you wouldn't normally like to associate with. They won't even repeat the names of some of the climbing routes that they had. A lot of them contain curse words and dirty language. It makes you wonder who wrote those climbing routes, but sometimes it's easy to just see a certain behavior and to think, I don't want to associate with those people. Maybe if it was up to just me, I probably wouldn't. Probably would just continue to live in my comfortable, secure life and try to avoid conflict at all costs. Well, maybe you've heard as you were growing up that the way we do things is simply because that's who we are. We are soulmans, so we do things a certain way. You go to church on Sunday, maybe we have devotions before we go to bed. We clean our plates. We eat our vegetables, even when you really, really don't want to. You take care of your room, make sure it's cleaned. Maybe there's things that you don't do as you grew up maybe not learning that you're not supposed to associate with a certain people. You grew up that you're not supposed to waste your money. Maybe sometimes when you're told to do something, your dad simply said, because I said so, that's why. I don't know where that began, but that's been around for a while, it seems like. And it might seem kind of weird, but there is a certain pride you can develop in your family, right? We don't do that? Why? It's because that's who we are. Or we do that? Well, that's because who we are. And sometimes I might wish, though, that we weren't in that family, especially when we come across things that we don't want to do, right? The things that our parents tell us to do that we really don't want to do. You can sometimes think, I wish I had different parents. As bad as that seems, really that's what we're saying when we say no to our parents, to our mothers, to our fathers. We're saying, I wish I had a different authority in my life. someone who could say it was okay to do what I wanted to do instead. Remember even one time when I was younger, when I was complaining to my dad about something, he got so frustrated. One time he just said, maybe you should just go find a different father. It's like, oh boy, what have I done now? Just go down to the father store and go get a new father, right? Well, it's not possible, is it? I didn't really do anything to be brought into my family. I didn't choose to be there. I just was born into it. Right? That's kind of the way it is as we talk about reading, especially from Leviticus and from Matthew, where Jesus is telling us to be holy as he is holy. What is often the reason he gives us? Because I am the Lord, your God. I, the Lord, am holy. Therefore, be holy. I, the Lord, do not steal. Therefore, don't steal. I, the Lord, show compassion to the poor and to the foreigner. Therefore, do so as well. I, the Lord, am just. I'm fair. I'm righteous in my judgments. I don't go around as a slanderer. I defend life. And so he asks the same things for his people. Even in our text today, why is the reason given for loving our enemies? It's so that we may be sons of our Father in heaven. Because this is what our Father in heaven does. He makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. Sends rain on the just and the unjust. This is the love of God. He doesn't show partiality. Doesn't have boundaries. Think about that some days when you're in the sun, maybe you just did some really stupid things the other day, and then think, wow, I really don't deserve this beautiful day out there. Huh, maybe this really isn't just because I'm such a good person. This weather is so beautiful. There's something more going on. Maybe it's just the way God's love is. If you've ever been caught driving through a heavy downpour at night, it's pretty hard to see, right? But sometimes when there's flashes of lightning, you can get brief glimpses of what the true journey, what the true conditions look like. You can see what you're going to encounter. You can see perils that there might be. You can see maybe even the destination ahead. And that's kind of an idea of what it's used, what we think about when we read these Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, of course, part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's really what God is giving to us is glimpses of what it's like to be in the kingdom of God, what it's like to be in the family of God. This is the way things are. There is forgiveness instead of retaliation. There is turning the other cheek. There is almost reckless generosity, it seems like. Literally giving the shirt off your back. There's going the extra mile even when forced to go 1 mile. There's giving to the one who begs you. It's the one who borrows, wants to borrow from you. There is love for the enemy. There is perfection, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that, of course, reminds us of Leviticus 19:2, where he says, "You shall be holy as I am holy." And of course, there is the harsh truth that we incredibly tend to fall short of these expectations. There is the law there, but there's also the gospel that God promises that we are holy because of him. And he has made us perfect. If we are his, everything he has belongs to us. It says in Corinthians. Everything is yours. Everything is Christ's. Christ is God's. So his perfection is our perfection. His righteousness is our righteousness. His life is our life. So when he says, you shall be holy as I am holy, or be perfect as I am perfect, he's promising not only that he's made us to be those people, but that he'll continue to mold us into the people that he's creating us to be. He'll continue to shape us into what it's like to live in his family. There's an old saying amongst educators that you teach what you know, but you only reproduce what you demonstrate. It seems like Jesus knew this full well. If we look at all these things in Matthew chapter 5, the ways that he perfectly fulfilled all of these things, he didn't just talk a good game, he walked all of it. Isaiah says he was despised and rejected, man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, and oppressed and afflicted, yet he didn't open his mouth. Led like a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep before her shearers in silence, so he did not open his mouth. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This text is about our lives in Christ, but also about Christ's life for us. His radical and unmistakable love that's noticeably different from the world. Eugene Peterson writes in the Message translation of Philippians 2, though Jesus had equal status with God, he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity, took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Jesus set it all aside. In his life here on earth, all of his privileges, all of his rights, all of his status, set aside for the sake of us to live a recklessly radical life. A life of love that changes people, that changes hearts. It's his love that compels us to believe in him as our Lord and our Savior. It's the same love that continues to do so. Except now through his own people, you and me. It's no mistake today that we live and we have our being in a place that is becoming more and more un-Christian, isn't it? Seems like more and more becoming unchurched, more and more people that are becoming apathetic to Jesus, to religion, more and more people that are just not interested. More people that are hostile even to the faith. And the choice is before us, how we will respond to these people. Will we just make a label? That's agnostic, that's an atheist. Those are people that are just out to destroy what we're working for. It's a drug addict, an alcoholic, porn addict, slacker, prisoner, mentally ill. Those people in nursing homes. Those bad people. When we label them, it makes it easy to make a separation between them and us. Makes it easy to justify us ignoring them. But as we see the words of our text, Jesus breaks down all those words, all those walls with his love. It's a love for the enemy. It's a love for you and me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He rose again to live in us, to continue that same love that changes sinful hearts, to redeem, to rescue. It brings new people into his family. People that are under need of grace, just like you and me. You know that in our lifetimes we're going to come across all kinds of people. We probably already have unhappy people, people that may be angry at the church or organized religion, people who are angry at us, people who are angry at God even. Maybe even malicious towards us. People that won't deserve any kindness that we show them. And we get to choose. Will we limit our exposure? Will we justify and label? Or will we love them as Jesus has? We know what Jesus chose. Just think of what he did with us. Amen. Peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, for guard and keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.